Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It is 1:16 p.m. the Pacific Summer Time, and today is April 30th, so the last day of the month. We saw some movement in currency markets in here today, but what I thought I'd like to kick off with it is what's happening with Amazon, because the NASDAQ is down about 150 points on the futures. Amazon reported revenue that was more or less in line with what was expected, but they expect to spend all of the profit that they had been anticipating on containing the coronavirus. So there's going to be about $4 billion in expenses, whether that is in terms of trying to keep their workers in their warehouses safe so that they don't have to close the warehouses, and then also trying to ensure that their transportation network is going to continue to be able to get packages to people in a timely manner. And that's not something that's a trivial consideration. They've already had to close down warehouses in France, and in fact France has not designated Amazon as an essential business, and in fact told them they had to close. Then certainly something that we've seen in real time is that third-party sellers are in fact winning the buy box from Amazon. So, therefore, Amazon's own algorithms are favoring third-party sellers' ability and the U.S. Postal Service's ability to get items to people faster than Amazon can right now. And that's been the case for about 3 weeks. That's obviously something that Amazon needs to correct, because they lose money by doing that. They lose all their premium from Prime if third-party sellers are fulfilling the orders themselves. They also lose the shipping profits that they make. So these are obvious considerations that need to be taken into account. But the other point, of course, is that the NASDAQ has rallied really rather spectacularly. When we think about the fact that back in towards the end of March, it was trading around the 65-70 area, and now it's trading closer to 9,000. It's been a very impressive rebound. There have been isolated instances in the semiconductor sector where we've seen shares get all the way back up to their all-time peaks. That's been particularly true of the graphics card manufacturers. So Advanced Micro Devices has rallied all the way back up to test its peak, and it is now consolidating. Nvidia has done the same thing. It looks equally likely to consolidate. It just hasn't really started doing it yet, but it did have a downside key reversal 3 days ago. No real signs of follow-through on the downside yet, but I think it is inevitable we're due some consolidation. Now, when we then look at the wider market, the S&P 500 is rapidly approaching the 3,000-point level. 3,000 points has been a big psychological region for the market. It paused there for pretty much the first three quarters of 2019. It also paused below it in 2018, and it now coincides with the region of the trend mean. So it's a big psychological Rubicon that the market is going to have to surpass. And to think that it is going to do so in the short term, I think, is just a bit too much to ask for. The clear conclusion that I think investors will start to come around to is that when we look at the really rather impressive earnings that have come through for both Google and for Facebook, they have benefited from some migration of interest from the conventional, or should we say the paper or TV oriented advertisers. And that's obviously something that is important. The fact that Google has been able to push back above the $1,300 level is certainly encouraging, and it is now back above its trend mean. Now the big question is, can it hold it? Apple was also in positive territory in here today, and was able to push up and out of its short-term range. So it's important that these companies can do that, considering the fact that they're among the largest in the world. But the the question that's still outstanding is, what are their earnings going to be like in the second quarter? Amazon sales have stagnated. One thing also that I've certainly noticed is traffic in post offices has been trending downwards for about 10 days now. 10 days ago, there were lines out the door, and the last four or five times I've been to the post office, there's been nobody there. So that has to signal that traffic on some of these shopping venues is beginning to moderate, and that the loss of income is starting to bite consumers. That's particularly relevant then for a company like Shopify. It had the very big downward dynamic outside day about 10 sessions ago. It has not had follow through on the downside, but it's very overextended. The trend mean is around 400 and the price is at 630. So we've got approximately a 50% overextension relative to the trend mean, and I really do wonder how sustainable that is. Now, when we then think about the banking sector, this is, I think, also going to be relevant for when we go on in a moment and look at Europe. But the banking sector's rebound has been modest, to say the least, considering the fact that some of the semiconductor indices have, or shares have, completely recouped their declines. Banks are still under pressure. They just have no visibility on just how large the non-performing loan problem facing them is going to be, or have they set aside enough money to cater to it. When we then think about what's going on in Europe, we did have some movement today from the ECB. They have pretty much said that they're going to make as much money available to banks as is required. But it's just not enough. The rationale is still flawed, because there's still an arbitrage, or a risk arbitrage, between the creditor and debtor nations. When, for example, we look at the spread of Italian bonds over bunds, it would have been, I think, reasonable to expect that that spread should have been coming down today, with a clear statement from the ECB that they're willing to do whatever it takes. But what has in fact happened is that by making more money available to the banking sector, banks are just going to park it in bunds. So they're not willing to take on the additional risk. European banks have not set nearly as much money aside for losses as their US counterparts. They're going to be very leery of putting any available funds that they receive into higher risk credits. And I do emphasize the word credits, because when we think about what's going on in terms of Italy and the potential for additional downgrades, it's a country that's trading much more like a credit than a sovereign, because they no longer have the ability to issue their own currency. And since that is the hallmark of a sovereign nation, then the only rational way then to think of these highly indebted countries, until there is a central debt issuing body, is as credits. So they trade much more like corporate bonds, and the spreads that we see in these peripheral countries are trading relative to German bunds similar to corporate bonds. And I think that's basically, regardless of whether people are willing to talk about it in those terms, that is how the bond market is now treating those bonds. And that is part of the reason why banks have pulled back in here today. But the additional point is that the euro was stronger, and it was stronger in a reasonably dynamic manner. Now, there's been a sequence of lower rally highs in the euro since the beginning of March, and there has been a downtrend over the course of the last two and a bit years. Now the question is, how long is that likely to last? Until we see clear and substantive action by European governments to massively increase their spending and to try and reinvigorate growth in the domestic economy, then the actions that have been announced so far pale in comparison to the quantity of money that is being printed by the USA. And that is likely to eventually weigh on the dollar. The dollar has been quite steady, but eventually this supply argument is likely to, I think, lead to some dollar weakness. And that's particularly relevant for the emerging markets, because they badly need not only a supply of dollars, but a weaker dollar in order to meet some of their debt obligations, considering the vast quantity of dollar-denominated debt that's sitting in a number of emerging markets. The pound was also steadier in here today. Now, the UK is much more likely to spend and spend aggressively on the fiscal front, but at the same time, they also have got a lot more freedom in terms of the regulatory environment, and investors seem to be willing to bet that the UK is going to come out of this crisis in a better position than the Eurozone will, and that's helping to support the pound. But this relative strength in the pound is likely to weigh on the nominal value of the stock market, and the FTSE 100 had a downside key reversal in here today. Now, follow through on the downside tomorrow would confirm a peak of near-term significance, and I think that we are likely to get some consolidation of this really quite impressive rebound that's been put in over the last 6 weeks. And I think that is equally true of just about all of the European stock markets. Now, it is worth highlighting that the large caps have been underperforming the mid caps, and mid caps in the UK have not had the downside key. A good part of the reason for the underperformance of the FTSE 100 has been Royal Dutch Shell, which was down in a reasonably dynamic manner in here today. Now, they've cut their dividend, and I've seen a number of articles talking about this being the first time they've cut their dividend in the post-war era. But that's not exactly true. There have been plenty of times where they've cut their dividend for a quarter or two, or indeed for even a quarter or three. It's simply that on aggregate, that those cuts to the dividend have spanned over a year, so that when the full dividend for the year is calculated, it's risen. And I wonder if we may not see something similar. It's unusual for Royal Dutch Shell to cut a dividend in the first part of the year, but the last time they did that was in fact back in 2014. Now, there have been occasions over the course of the last decades where they've announced special dividends, and that has contributed to big spikes in the yield, and that has also been one of the factors that has precluded it from becoming a member of the Dividend Aristocrats. So the important point, of course, is what's likely to happen in terms of the oil price. And oil was up in a dynamic manner again in here today. I do think that it is likely we've seen the lows, and that the $20 region is likely to hold. We are more than likely going to see a great deal of volatility, and not least because of the size of the decline and the uncertainty about the global economic condition. But it is likely that we are at the lows for the oil market. And if that's the case, then even though companies have been forced to cut dividends and we've seen really rather extraordinary pullbacks in the energy sector, then it's the stronger companies, those that are better capitalized, are likely to be in a rather favorable position now, because they can consolidate the smaller producers. And with the application of economies of scale and better technology, they have the potential to lower the average cost of production. And the average cost of production could be anything from $35 to $50 right now, and it's obviously going to have to come down in order to make a go of the particularly the onshore unconventional oil sector in the USA. Then when we think about what's going on in terms of the gold market, gold prices were lower in here today, and the one thing that was a mantra at this service during the bull market from approximately 2001 through to 2011 was don't pay up for commodities. They are certainly best bought following reactions. Gold has been consolidating around the $1,700 area now for most of the last 3 weeks. It's not beyond the bounds of possibility we may be presented with additional volatility in the sector. Silver prices were in negative territory yesterday, and they were also following through on the downside in here today. This was a volatile session where we had more than $1 range on the day. So this is also a consolidation in the region of the lower side of the overhead trading range for silver, and it's at least holding the $15 area. As long as it's doing that, then I think we can give the benefit of the doubt to continued potential for higher to lateral ranging, but it really does need to hold that area. Platinum, having been pausing around the $800 area, has at least closed above it in here today, but having rallied impressively, more than 50% in the space of a month, then I don't think it's beyond the bounds that we're going to have at least some consolidation in here right now. Now, when we think about what kind of impact that might have on gold shares, they have got right back up to new highs. In fact, gold shares are one of the only sectors that have in fact pushed on to new recovery highs following the big decline we saw in March. And that kind of relative strength is something that is going to start to move the needle in terms of algorithmic trading systems. And that kind of relative strength, provided the breakout can hold, and that means that it's going to have to find support in the region of the trend mean, then that is something that could start to see institutional money coming towards the gold mining sector. The one point, of course, is that gold mines, relative to the wider commodity sector or the wider mining sector, or much less the wider equity sector, is a very small pool of capital, particularly considering the massive wash of money that is hitting the global markets right now. Therefore, even a small amount of institutional money coming into gold miners can have a really outsized effect. But we are due some consolidation, and I think we are likely to get it right now. Now, when we then think about how are some institutional investors looking, well, a lot of people look at the emerging markets index as their benchmark, and it went from 45 to 30 and then rebounded by about 7. So that's not far off a 50% retracement of the decline, and it's likely that we're going to have some consolidation. When we think about some of the bigger emerging markets in isolation, India has been rebounding in some of the most impressive manners, but again, it has unwound about half of the overall decline, and it's really quite normal that we would see at least some consolidation following a 50% retracement of the decline. Of course, a lot of what is likely to happen is going to hinge on the ability of the S&P 500 to either pause around 3,000 or push back above it. I continue to think the most likely scenario is that, having unwound all of the oversold condition, that we are likely to now see a range which in a best case scenario, would be between the 200-day and the 1,000-day moving average. In other words, approximately a 400-point range, with 3,000 being the upper bound. That, I think, is the most likely, or at least it would be the most benign scenario. If we are to see a significant pop on the upside, then it's going to have to be on the back of some rationale to think that the entire bull market isn't going to be predicated on margin or on valuation expansion. Valuations have risen really quite considerably over the course of the last month, and the PE on the S&P is up to about 19.5. So we're getting to a reasonably racy valuation for the wider market. When we then think that there is still there are a significant number of shares that are trading below their trend means, we've certainly seen that this incredibly oversold condition has, where we got down to less than 5% of issues trading above their trend mean, it's now rebounding. Historically, we've had periods when you get down to these levels that we tend to mess around a bit. The only time where we had a clear V recovery was right at the end of 2018. Everybody's betting today that that's exactly what we're going to have on this occasion. But we didn't have the economic uncertainty in 2018 that we have today. And certainly the massive quantity of money that's being printed by central banks and spent by governments is a really significant monetary and fiscal tailwind. But we need to have at least something to base additional bullishness on, considering the rebound that's already taken place. Well, it may be that vaccines do in fact come to market in a time frame that's been anticipated, like the third quarter. What we are seeing, though, is that some of the impetus behind Moderna's vaccine, and it has been the one that is furthest along in the permitting process, is starting to wane, and I don't think that's especially bullish in here. Gilead is looking increasingly likely that it's going to have its remdesivir drug permitted, so that has pushed up to the upper side of the range, but it's not surging higher. Regeneron has been the company that's been pioneering the antibodies, and it's also consolidating. So although it was in positive territory in here today, it's not accelerating up and away from current levels. I think these are important that we've seen some of the shares that people have been using as proxies for betting that there's going to be a wall of money hitting the market for producing a solution, that they are now underperforming suggests that there is a little bit of doubt about how much value can now be attained, considering they've rallied impressively already. But the other point is, we're probably due some consolidation, and I think that is probably the base case at this stage. With Amazon's results now out, the major companies have already reported. So we have to then think about, where is the next piece of good news going to come from? Apple's earnings have also come out right now, and they've boosted their buyback by another $50 billion. So that is, I think, going to help to support the share. And it's probably one of the companies that people will be looking to continue to buy back their shares. So I think that's certainly encouraging. If what it suggests is that at least some of the mega cap shares are likely to continue to perform. But the wider market is still in need of some consolidation. And I think that we're likely to get it. And I think with that, I'll leave you for today, and wish all the best to all of you.